Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, along with my co-host for our monthly ethics sessions, Difficult Decisions in Healthcare, Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. Welcome back, Dr. Eastwood.
It's great to be back, Tricia.
It's always good to have you here. Now, our topic this morning has a title that some would find perhaps counterintuitive.
Counterintuitive is right. Why are we talking about death and dying when we're anticipating the holidays at the end of this
right.
month?
Right, holiday fair decisions at the end of life. But, you know, regular listeners know I've just lost my mother after more than a decade of Alzheimer's disease. And a few weeks ago, I shared how grateful our family had been that she had let us know what her end-of-life wishes were. It was such a huge gift. And that's actually our topic this morning, is that gift, isn't it?
That's correct.
And we have an extra guest with us, as we love to have. Will you introduce her to us?
Yes, I'm really happy to have Pat Knox, a friend, a colleague of many years. We have the privilege of being with Pat every now and then to teach our medical students and other things we do together. She's a nurse. She also is the clinical coordinator of the palliative care program here at University Hospital at SUNY Upstate Medical University. So we're going to see what we find out today.
That's right. And good morning and welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back here. Greg,
well, you're one of our favorite and frequent guests, Pat, so we're so glad to have you here for this topic in particular, because this doesn't seem like the time of year you would talk about end of life, and yet this is a time for families to get together. This is a time when these conversations can take place, and what we hope people will learn this morning is why it's important for them to take place and how they can actually get the conversation started. These are conversations that have gone on since the beginning of time, haven't they, Dr. Eastwood?
Since the beginning of recorded history. This is Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it'd be worthwhile to maybe consult, at least in the Judeo-Christian tradition, the Bible. Most people are familiar with Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. But at the end of Genesis 49:33, I find this very precious words about the end of life. It goes, and this is from the King James Version, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, that means giving instructions to his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. There's a wealth of information and guidance there.
Yes, there is.
Jacob said he gave instructions to his sons, which means he made preparations for people who were to survive him.
He told them what their
wishes were.
Mm-hmm.
He gathered up his feet into the bed, which means he made preparations to die, and he died. He yielded up the ghost.
Yeah,
and then he was gathered unto his people, which presumably was somewhere very nice.
Yes, well, and one would hope. And I love that gave up the ghost is a phrase that we even use today, isn't
That's
it?
That's correct.
It is. You know, all of us can make this a very personal conversation, just thinking for a moment about someone in our lives who has died. And it might have been a husband or a wife or a parent or a sibling or even a child. And we know what kind of circumstance it was under, whether we understood what their wishes were, whether perhaps we didn't understand what their wishes were, therefore making it more stressful and more difficult. And when we say what their wishes were, Pat, what kinds of decisions need to be made at that time?
Well, for people in the hospital, and I deal mostly with patients in the hospital, some of the decisions that come down to are about, do you have cardiac resuscitation at the end of life? Do you prolong your life, depending on the circumstances, with dialysis, hemodialysis? Do you want to continue to have IV fluids or artificial nutrition and hydration? All of which are very sensitive and very personal decisions, and it's very, very important to make those decisions, have those conversations, hopefully with your primary care physician and your family, so they know what it is you would like to see happen at the end of life, and that that is what will happen.
Let's take a little aside here and explain one thing. You deal with palliative care, and let's explain what palliative care is, because that's a concept that if you understand understand that, then you understand the conversation better.
Okay. Palliative care comes from the Latin word palliate, which is to cloak. And our job as palliative care practitioners is to address people's physical, spiritual, and psychosocial well-being and to promote the best quality of life for people for as long as possible. It doesn't mean just end of life. We do see people who have a new diagnosis of cancer or a chronic illness, and we help with symptom management. But we do a lot of help with end-of-life decisions, goals of care, and ensuring that patients' wishes are honored in this environment of healthcare.
Now, I understand what you've just said, but I also understand it a little bit differently. Palliative care is making sure that someone is comfortable and their care is managed, as opposed to curative care, which means you get beyond a disease or condition. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. And so when we talk about palliative care, and quite often we hear that in terms of hospice as well, when we talk about it, we're talking about keeping somebody comfortable. And in this case, today, we're talking about end of life. So, Dr. Eastwood, why isn't this a conversation that everybody has with their family?
I think death is a difficult thing to confront. This is difficult for nearly everyone, easier for some people than others. But I would submit that it is an easier conversation with people you love and trust, your family presumably, than it might be with strangers. And those strangers could be hospital personnel or somebody else that you're likely to encounter at the end of life. So I get back to what we talked about at the beginning of the program. The holiday time is a good time to talk about these things. And I had a recent experience, as many of us have had, of talking about this at Thanksgiving time, which is another wonderful holiday time.
Uh-huh.
And it was all very, very positive, and I think we advanced the objectives a little bit.
You did. And so this was a conversation that you had with your family about what your wishes were?
Mm-hmm. My wishes and the wishes of my wife and my daughters and their husbands and so on.
And it was not that difficult for your family to have the
conversation.
No, but
I have to admit, we're a medical family, and most of those people are tuned into things like
right.
this. But it's not rocket science.
It's not.
It's something that everyone can do.
And Pat, I know that you've run into families that just don't want to talk about it at all. Can you tell us about what some of their objections are?
Well, oftentimes people have a superstition or a belief that if you talk about death, then it's going to occur. So for some people, it's just so uncomfortable that they don't want to bring up that topic. Other people feel, why should I talk about it? Because I know that when I'm not in a position to talk, someone is going to honor my wishes. So why should I write about it or why should I talk about it? Other people in the environment that I work in oftentimes think of it in terms of, if I sign a do not resuscitate order, if I put my end of life decisions on a piece of paper or in writing to someone, that will possibly affect how I am treated and cared for in the healthcare environment. That's untrue, but again, this is a lot of information that we're trying to help get across to the people in the community.
I understand the people with perhaps superstitions or suspicions. Do you find it's a cultural thing at all?
I think oftentimes it is, because in certain cultures, people don't talk about death. The rituals and the things that they experience are just taken for granted and have been part of their life. So for them, they do not talk about it.
And we also, I think, have a society where our medical system in particular, and Dr. Eastwood, this is perfectly your experience, mm-hmm. our medical system always wants to fix. I think sometimes they don't almost allow us to have those end-of-life wishes in some of the ways we would like to.
Well, for better or for worse, most healthcare professionals, particularly doctors, are orienting to taking care or rectifying or improving the acute situation.
And we should say that's a good thing.
That's
what we want them to do 99%
of the time. We want our doctor to help us get better.
Of course.
But I think that physicians and nurses and other people in our profession also need to pay attention to the natural phenomenon of dying. Everyone dies eventually. And we don't want that to be soon, we want it to be later, but we want it to be the natural consequence and as hopefully as pain-free and as comfortable as possible. But I just want to go back a minute or two to our conversation about talking about family and so on. I'd like to inject another dimension, that is time and experience. We think, oh my, the holidays are coming up, we need to talk with our family and get this all resolved. Well, maybe we need to talk with our family and have an initial conversation.
Sure.
But then over a period of time, the next time we get together, we talk more about it. And we have more experience and we learn more about it. So it doesn't have to be resolved right now.
No, it doesn't. And we're going to take a break in a minute. When we come back, we're going to talk about some ways we can do all of that. But before we do that, I just want to set a stage here. In some ways, this is a conversation about quality versus quantity, isn't it?
Correct. And it's about care planning. You want to plan your care. You want to have it the way you expect it to be. We don't have discomfort planning for our financial future. We don't have problems worrying about what will happen with our families. So why wouldn't we have conversations and discussions and let our family know what we would like our wishes to be at the end of life?
And you know, it also occurs to me that many of us, and for valid reasons, we want to control aspects of our life. Like you're saying, we want to control our finances. We want to control where we live, but somehow we're afraid to approach controlling how we die. It almost seems counterintuitive. And that's kind of where we started, isn't it,
that's
Dr.
Right.
Eastwood? All right. Well, we're going to talk about how listeners can approach this conversation with their families and the important documents that they need to take care of and how they can do that. We're going to take a quick break for the news, so we'll do that when we return. Listeners, we will be back in a few minutes. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.